You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 22nd of October 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's the end of another week. The weekend is almost here. You're either driving home from work or listening to this in your lunch hour, and we know why you're listening today. It's because we have a special guest today. I have my co-host with me, Grandpa Dan, all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, it's great to be back once again on the Friday installment of the Daily Daily Transitionalist. I don't know if you're trolling. I was like, Sven's trolling me with these stories. But then again, I think society, perhaps it's society that's trolling me with these stories. I don't know who it is, but somebody is damn sure trolling me.
Well, we just seem to get more and more and more stories about transgenders. Just over the last 5 years, there's been a huge increase from sort of one every couple of weeks or so, or once a month, to two or three every single day. And so we do have to cover them. And this is quite an important transgender story, I think. This is a real first for the world of transgenders. A President Joe Biden appointee became the nation's first transgender four-star admiral when she was sworn in to lead the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps on Tuesday. Admiral Rachel Levin will serve as head of the USPHS while maintaining her position as Assistant Secretary for Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which made her the nation's highest-ranking transgender official. I am deeply honored and grateful to join the ranks of men and women across this great nation who have committed to defend the United States against small and large threats, known and unknown, Levine tweeted with a broadcast of her swearing in. I promise to uphold that trust to the fullest extent of my abilities. I'm proud to wear this uniform and lead the hashtag USPHA hashtag commissioned corps to answer the call as warriors for our nation's health, she posted in another tweet. What must the rest of the world think when they see this? What do you think China thinks of this, or Russia thinks of this, when they look and they see this big hullabaloo about the first transgender four-star admiral? What is it that this person has done that is so fantastic they need to be promoted to an admiral? Well, they're a transsexual. And that's just about it, apparently. But the Biden administration is going to be the strongest administration the world has ever seen because of all the diversity that they actually have in there. And this Admiral Levin, I mean, they must be so good at what they can do because they can do two jobs at once. So they can be the admiral whilst also being the assistant secretary for health. Why don't they make her into vice president as well? Or we haven't had a vice president transgender yet. Perhaps that will be the next appointment. Grandpa, what do you make of this stupendous first ever promotion of a transgender to such a high appointment?
It's just breathtaking when they make the statement that they join the ranks of men and women. They mean that literally because they're in both ranks. They're in both ranks. Thing that really amazes me about this as well is this person was a nobody. I think they were part of a state health board or whatever, head of a state health commission just a few years ago. And voila, instantly an admiral. Can you imagine that? Like if you went to West Point, the military academy, and you went through all the rigorous courses and you graduate West Point. I mean, you start off as like a lieutenant and then you have to work your way. Like you're like a one-star general. You've been in the military for 20 years. You've been busting your ass. And now you finally got your first star and you're a general. And you have this person who was a civilian yesterday or the day before this, and they are suddenly just overnight, no training, didn't have to go to military academy, no nothing, just instant admiral, and not just admiral, four-star admiral, like just voila, just wave the magic wand. I'm also disappointed. Look, we're going to get this training agenda. Why can't they give us passable traps? We're not getting passable traps. If you look at the picture of this person, it's like they're purposely being as offensive as possible. Can we at least get transgenders that people are like, well, that does look like a woman, you know? I mean, no, we get this like ridiculous dude. I mean, nobody looks at this. If you would think if this person is a transgender person, they would look in the mirror and be like, this ain't working. You know, I don't have the look. I can't do this. I can't pull it off. I'm not tricking anybody, because this person is definitely not tricking anybody. You look at that person, you don't have to have anybody say, oh, well, you know, they're trans. No, you know, it's not a great mystery. It's like they're purposely being insulting to our faces. I think that's a part of it. But I would just be, if I was in the military busting my ass and I finally made captain or some shit, now wake up and read the news and realize that this person just got up one day and instantly is a four-star admiral. But since this is all incorporated in the military, that means that you have to salute this person who yesterday was nobody, and now they're a four-star admiral. You've been in the military for years, and you come up on this person. You're supposed to salute them and give them respect because they worked so very hard for their position.
It's the receding hairline that really gives it away. I'm just amazed that they consider themselves a warrior. I mean, this is a transgender. How are they supposed to be fighting on the front line? I guess that's with this terminology of fighting coronavirus and people being on the front line there. So they're a warrior for coronavirus. She has announced that she plans to begin wearing the group's blue uniform immediately. The U.S. Public Health Service is one of the nation's eight uniformed services, including the Air Force, Navy, Army, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Space Force, and National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association. Although Levine has never served as a sailor, the Assistant Secretary for Health can be ranked as an admiral if they also serve as a uniformed officer of the USPHS Commissioned Corps. So they've got no military training whatsoever. They've just been catapulted up to this esteemed position, and it's actually amongst all these military organizations. I mean, it's just embarrassing, isn't it? I should imagine that there will be people that actually leave these military organizations just through sheer embarrassment. I can imagine the Russian army that are just collapsing in fits of laughter at this, and China as well. I mean, in China, they're doing all they can to prevent the emasculation of their young males and of their youth. They're stopping them playing computer games. They're banning feminine K-pop if it's boys that are actually singing this over there. They're doing all they can to increase masculinity amongst their boys, because they understand that it's very, very dangerous, that our testosterone levels are going down and our masculinity is going down. And that is the last thing you want for a country. Who is going to defend the country if all the men have turned into women? And America seems to think this is great. We're gonna have one of these men that thinks they're a woman. We're gonna have them actually leading as an admiral. It's just staggering, really. And I bet she does like the group's blue uniform. I'm sure she does like dressing up. What do you make of her uniform fetish here, Grandpa?
Well, it's almost as funny as whenever I read the line. Whenever I read the, Space Force in there, you know, it's like Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, Navy, Space Force. It's just so kind of, it's just like we're just making shit up now, you know. We're just making it up and going. No, it is laughable, because we have this under the backdrop of the U.S. is just constantly essentially trying to stir up a war with both Russia and China. I mean, Russia and China are shown just amazing restraint. You know, this just shows, I mean, how these countries are run by serious people. You know, and I don't mean to be fawning over these foreign powers. I realize these countries have their own problems, their own issues they're dealing with. No system is perfect. But I mean, seriously, they're being run by serious people, and they're showing amazing self-restraint, because the U.S. has just been constantly trying to, you know, start a conflict with them. I read a story just the other day where the Russians were holding military drills, and they had the area marked off. They're in their waters, their territorial waters. But the U.S. has now unilaterally decided that those aren't really Russia's waters. And they attempted to sail a destroyer. They just attempted to go right into their waters with a destroyer, and the Russians blocked their path, wouldn't let them. And they essentially charged at the Russian ship, refusing to yield. And since the Russians didn't yield at the last minute, they turned away. I mean, this is just provocative action. They do these things nonstop. And yet, we have the backdrop of this, well, let's go to our four-star admiral and see what they think. And I mean, come on. It's just like the whole system is collapsing, and it's just collapsing in a fit of madness. This is utter insanity. And yet this is what we have. I mean, at some point, reality comes crashing down. They create this fantasy. It's all built on lies, and they keep it up, and they keep it up, and they keep it up. And at some point, I can guarantee you, at some point, reality is going to crash your fantasy party, and it's going to get really ugly, because we're getting so far off into this make-believe world that we can just speak reality into existence. Now you have this person. I mean, like I say, we've got the whole transgender angle here, and this person, like I say, it's laughable. They're not even passable. I don't care. They've done the hormones. They've even gone through the surgery. It doesn't matter. They still look like a dude. And yeah, that's kind of the angle here. But I really find the fact that you just wake up one day and make somebody a four-star admiral, I actually find this to be even more absurd than any of it, to be honest.
Well, it's just so weird that they're so proud of this, as if they think, the rest of the world is going to be really impressed by the fact that they have transgenders that are leading these military organizations. I mean, it's really just showing how crazy the American empire is, and then they think the rest of the world wants this. The rest of the world wants liberal democracy, and this is the example that's actually showed to them. That's what really gets me, is how can they be proud of this? How can they not look at this and just be laughing and saying, what? President Biden nominated Levine to the high-ranking position in January, continuing his pattern of selecting a historically diverse slate of leaders for senior administration roles. Levine will bring the steady leadership and essential expertise we need to get people through this pandemic, no matter their zip code, race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability, Biden said in a statement. She then made history in March when she became the first transgender federal official to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Well, just what is the essential expertise that a transgender actually has? As you pointed out, Grandpa, she is a full operation transgender. She has actually cut her bits off. Is that the expertise that we want to lead people through the pandemic? I mean, I still haven't heard anything that is, really deserving of being a leader here. I mean, what that really shows is somebody that is confused, somebody that suffers from gender dysphoria. They're not actually happy with what body they're in. They're in two minds, basically. And you don't want somebody who is in two minds to be in a leadership role, because they're going to be continually confused about which direction they actually want to go in. I believe she actually has a wife and two children as well. I mean, they must be very confused too. You don't want somebody leading who is going to change their mind halfway through whatever it is they're doing. And that's essentially what you see with a transgender, somebody who is going to change their mind about things, that is really not going to be that reliable. I would suggest, just from the very fact that they've decided that they're not actually going to stick with the gender that they are, and they're going to pretend that it's possible to be another gender, and in not a very convincing way, as you have pointed out, Grandpa. What do you make of all of this? What do you think her particular expertise is that Biden is referring to here?
Well, you just totally stole my thunder, because that was the very question I was going to ask. What, they throw these terms out here and they never give us a definition of them. They should be able to point to some examples, this essential expertise. I mean, what example can they point to? There is no example. This person doesn't have any expertise, and much less essential expertise, in any of this. They're bringing this steady leadership. Yes, steady leadership. Because, the Biden administration is going so smoothly. It's not a total train wreck. I'm wondering if some of this is just, They've fallen into the trap of believing their own bullshit. They've said this diversity is our strength mantra to us so long that they themselves have started to believe it. And maybe that is the expertise, just the fact that they can point, say, see diversity. It's just like automatic setting. If it can be labeled as diversity, then it's automatically good. It's automatically essential expertise. It's automatically steady leadership and all of this stuff that's going to do these great things just because it's diversity. It is utter madness. I mean, there's no way. And this whole thing, they're going to bring this, no matter your zip code, race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, this is going to save. I mean, what does this have to do with the coronavirus? Because they throw that in there as well. I mean, what does any of this stuff have to do? They just, this is going to bring everything. Well, what does Rachel Levine, however you say their name, what does this person have in common with me? What does this person have in common with somebody working cattle on a ranch out in West Texas? What expertise are they bringing to everybody? Because they're going to be bringing this to everybody. What expertise are they bringing to the factory worker who's looking at getting laid off? What expertise are they bringing to people that can't, they can't go to work because they keep doing these lockdowns? What expertise are they bringing to people that are worried about losing their jobs because they're doing these vaccine mandates? What expertise is this person, because they're supposed to be in charge of this health aspect of our nation? What expertise are they bringing to people that can't afford to go to the doctor because it's too expensive because the healthcare corporation industry is run amok in this country? What expertise are they bringing? What way do they identify with regular, normal people? It's like they say diversity, diversity, diversity. And not only does that mean no regular, normal white people, but it means no regular, normal working people, no people that work for a living, that are out here keeping the gears moving in this country. They don't have anything. This person has lived this life of some sort of government job. They haven't lived in reality. They haven't been out there working with their hands. They're living in fantasy land. They've spent their whole life in fantasy land, and diversity is going to be our strength. But the regular working people, the people that can't afford the things they need in their lives, they're seeing their standard of living go down every day. People that can't afford cancer treatments, can't afford health care, can't afford to go to the doctor, can't afford, heaven forbid, they get in an accident and have to go to the hospital. Sorry, too bad for you. But look, we've got this horrible looking person. I'm sorry, that's just a personal opinion. I'm not meaning to be insulting, but I mean, come on. And they're the expertise. They're going to make everything better. Why? Well, because diversity. It's absurd. They've drank their own Kool-Aid. I mean, it's like the Jim Jones people from back in the day. Well, they've drank the Kool-Aid too. They didn't just hand it out to everybody else. They've drank the Kool-Aid. They're high on their own supply, and they're believing their own bullshit.
Well, progressives and liberals might be dazzled and hypnotized by the beauty of Biden's latest appointment and believe that just diversity in itself is such a strength. But you can just imagine, the army going into a country and believing diversity is a strength and putting all these trannies on the front line. And it's not going to work on the country that you're invading. The rest of the world does not see diversity as a strength. They see it as what it is. It is division. A house divided against itself will not stand. I mean, that's a quote from the New Testament, and that's always been seen for what it is for millennia, that division is not a strength. And yet we just repeat this as a mantra and think that it just confers magical properties on whatever organization it is that the diversity has been imported into. Admiral Levine's historic appointment as the first openly transgender four-star officer is a giant step forward towards equality as a nation, HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra said in a statement. This is a proud moment for the HHS. Admiral Levine, a highly accomplished pediatrician who helps drive our agency's agenda to boost health access and equity and to strengthen behavioral health, is a cherished and critical partner in our work to build a healthier America, added Becerra, the first Latino to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. So more diversity in there as well. I mean, can we withstand the strength that is being shown here? They say it's a giant step forward for equality, a giant leap forward for man, putting a transgender into this role as an admiral and adding the first Latino to lead the Department of Health and human services. Nothing whatsoever about the qualifications, the merit here, whether they've done anything particularly amazing in the field that they've actually been in. It literally is just the fact that they're not white, basically. That's all there is to it. The fact is, if you're not white, then you stand a chance of getting promotion or getting a job anywhere simply just for not being a white man.
Well, unless you're transgender, I guess. But you look through these articles and I always look for little like Easter eggs, you know, because they will. You read these things and the trick to going through news stories, you know, because it's all propaganda. And of course, they're going to lie to us and we expect that. But you go through there and you look for little things because sometimes they'll let some things slip. And one of the things that struck me is you go through here and they said to drive the agency's agenda to boost health access and equity. Well, we know that's bullshit. I mean, you know, nobody's getting more access to health care in this country. I can tell you that. But then they say, and to strengthen behavioral health. Behavioral health. So it's kind of like a slip, like, you know, an admission that they're really working to manipulate people's behavior. And if you think of this in the context of this, their reaction to this coronavirus thing, I think that's a little bit telling if you think about it, reflect on it a little bit. Strengthen behavioral health. They are manipulating. It's been pointed out that I think it's there in Britain. You'll probably know it, but it's the board that basically is in charge of all of this coronavirus reaction. And it's like pretty much everybody on that board is some form of psychiatrist. They aren't virologists and they're not experts in these, you know, virus things. They're actually, most of them, I think, are psychiatrists. And it kind of makes you think, and you look at them, they make a statement about talking about behavioral health. I think it's kind of a bit of a slip that they're admitting that a lot of this is really just about manipulating how people live, manipulating what people do, and the way that people behave.
It is, isn't it? And the way they add health to it as well. Now that they've got everybody all involved in the coronavirus and the pandemic, and they can use health worries as a reason to get just about any legislation passed, they're now sort of applying it to other things, applying it here to behavior. I mean, I've never heard of behavioral health before. And I think maybe what they mean here by strengthening behavioral health is encouraging people to accept seeing transgenders everywhere, and that's strengthening behavioral health. It's training people to accept this as being perfectly normal and not commenting on it. I think that's the sort of behavior that they are trying to encourage, and that's what's most important to them, is shaping the way that people think about things within society. Social engineering basically was the old term, and now I guess they're calling it behavioral health. Levine released a statement on the day of her swearing in, thanking her former Governor Wolf for his leadership and highlighting the work she did at the Pennsylvania Department of Health Secretary. Since I began state service in 2015, I have been laser-focused on building a healthy Pennsylvania for all, and I am proud of the work we have done at the Department of Health during my tenure. And I tend to find that with all of these diversity appointments, when they talk about doing something for all, what they mean is concentrating on their particular minority. When they say it's for all, they're actually implying that it wasn't done for all before. And what they really mean by doing things for all today is just doing things for their particular minority. And they continue, and they pretty much confirm this with the next quote. I am proud of the work we have done as an administration to address health equity and the work I have done personally to raise awareness about LGBTQ equity issues. And this is what all that diversity seems to really do, is just promote more diversity. I mean, this is what a diversity and inclusion officer does. They get paid absolutely phenomenal amounts of money, and all they actually do is just promote more diversity. And that's what the strength is. If you get diversity in, it will promote more diversity. And that's what we see happening here. That's why she's raising awareness about LGBTQ equity issues. And that's her main role. That's mainly what she's done and what she's proud of doing in this administration. She says, I am extremely proud of the work we have done during the last year to save lives in the face of the COVID-19 global pandemic. Levine concluded, "I look forward to the opportunity to continue to serve Pennsylvanians and all Americans as part of the Biden administration if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed to this position." Well, she has been confirmed to that position. I don't think there was any doubt that she was going to be confirmed to that position. I mean, it's a really rosy time to be alive if you are a minority, I think. Perhaps not such a good time to be alive if you're a heterosexual white male. What do you think of her track record here, Grandpa? Are you impressed?
Oh, I'm just blown away. I mean, the main thing they're really pointing to is, quote unquote, raising awareness. And whenever I hear that term, raising awareness, you know, it just comes off as a scam to me, for the simple fact that how do you even point to actual results? I mean, and that applies to a lot of things. I mean, they have these things and they raise, oh, you have these big foundations here, and they're always raise all of this money, and they get all of this money for raising awareness. You know, they have this, these groups that do all these walks, you know, and it's raise awareness for women's breast cancer. Well, that sounds really good. And you're like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. But they're not talking about like coming up with cures. They're just simply raising awareness. Well, what metric are you using to even measure success? Success with that. It always just comes off as kind of a scam to me. But no, this person doesn't have any actual accomplishments. I mean, there are no accomplishments. And they entered in, you know, they're talking about, oh, since the, you know, ancient history of 2015, I have this amazing track record. Amazing track record. It is a bigger social engineering program. And the thing to always remember is these things are a, you know, when it comes like we do these on these, the daily transitionalists, we do these stories. And whenever you see this transgender stuff pushed to the front, you need to remember, and people need to, I think, bear in mind, always remember, that's just a tool. These people are used as a tool. It's a tool for a larger attack on society, I suppose. I mean, and that's it. This person, you know, they're benefiting from it right now, you know, and they're pushed to the front, but it's part of the destructive program against society at large. And I think part of that is that they put somebody that looks so repulsive as this. They don't put somebody that's like, wow, you know, that transition looked like it really worked. I think it's on purpose that they put somebody on here that literally looks like a dude. You know, I mean, I think that's a part of the program. I think they purposely pick people that look like that to make the whole program even more absurd. I can't even explain exactly why that is, except that the more absurd it is, the more you have to deny reality and essentially submit to the program to go along with it. You know, if they were pushing the transgender agenda and they kept putting out these transgenders that are like totally passable as an attractive woman, then people would be like, well, you know, I get, but it doesn't require as much submission. When they put out somebody that looks like this person, that looks less convincing as if you put me in a dress, beard and all, you know, it requires much more submission to say, yeah, I guess I'll go along. That's totally a girl. You know, it requires you to suspend reality. It requires you to deny the truth that much more. And I really think that that's, I guess I'm kind of going off on a tangent with it, but I do think that that's a part of the program.
Well, it's a maladaptive idea, isn't it, to promote transgenderism? It's degenerate. I mean, if everybody was transgender, we wouldn't actually be reproducing. We have these maladaptive, degenerate ideas because we have such dysgenic policies. We've had so many dysgenic policies for the last 100 years. Instead of following eugenic policies, we end up with weak people that are being born with weak genetics, and they have these ideas which are actually harmful to the group as a whole. And because we have multiculturalism and we have all these other groups that are living here with us, it's to their benefit to encourage these ideas, because it weakens their competition, and which is obviously going to strengthen their own group. So we don't just have people within our own extended kinship group, white people, that are coming out with these maladaptive ideas. We also have these other competing groups in society that are helping to promote these ideas. And we end up with the worst people rising to the top. I mean, it can all be traced to this idea of multiculturalism that we have. You know, it doesn't just involve the different ethnicities. It now also involves all these different sexual minorities, which we know are used as proxies to weaken society. The banks promote them, the corporations promote them, and it's not because they really love transgenders. It's because they know that it's going to weaken the bonds of society. If you weaken the bonds of society, you atomize people, they become individuals, then they're easier to manipulate, they're easier to control. And this ties in with this great reset, which is taking us a little bit off topic here, so I'll get back to the article here. Deputy Secretary of the US Department of Health and Human Services, Andrea Palm, opened the swearing-in ceremony announcing Levine's appointment as "history is being made" and to support a more diverse future. The newly appointed admiral noted the historic nature of what her position symbolizes and shared her hopes that this appointment be the first of many more to come as we create a diverse and inclusive future where no one is left behind. I mean, this is really using the sort of language that you would expect for the first manned mission to Mars or something. History is being made here. We're supporting a more diverse future. You see, and what she wants is to see more people like herself in those positions. That's all that diversity does. It just wants to create more diversity, and they're encouraged to do that. I mean, this is her speech here. She hopes that this is the first of many more to come. Much more diversity, many more trannies being put into this position. This is this strength, I guess. It just creates more diversity, which just means more weakness. It is incredible how far we have fallen, and the sort of things that we nowadays celebrate. Grandpa, what do you make of the swearing in ceremony here?
Well, I have to agree. I call it like I see it. I agree. History is being made, and it is truly historic. And I hope that there's enough left of civilization, if there's anybody left that actually is still doing history in the future. And one of the great things is that we do live in this age where, everything is recorded, not just written down, but we have videos and audios, and hopefully all those things will survive through all of this coming collapse. Because otherwise, if, like, off in the distant future, people are studying the collapse of the U.S. empire, and stories like this are put up there, people are not going to believe it. It's going to be so absurd that people will be like, there's no way. There is just no way in hell that it got that ridiculous, that it got that absurd. And the older you get and you have more perspective, you really realize, I mean, for somebody that, say, they were born in the year 2000, I mean, they've known some level of clown world their entire life. So their perspective is going to be limited. See, I'm in my mid-50s now, which is kind of depressing in and of itself. But that's another topic. You get this perspective of remembering when things weren't this absurd. So you really get this idea of how ridiculous things are. It is historic, because if there is anybody doing history studies, going back and looking, and someday, way off in the, say, 100 years from now, and somebody's sitting there studying the fall of the dramatic fall of the U.S. empire, and they get told a story like this, they will sit there and the students are going to be snickering, and they're going to be like, nah, come on, you're making that up. That's a hoax. There's no way it was that stupid and that absurd. But it really is. This is really easy. You think of, the collapse. I know you do if you think, Sven, about like your patriotic history series you're doing, which is really good, by the way, compliments on that. And you read about the fall of these different civilizations, and they had all of these different, but they weren't absurd. They had all of these reasons, they had all these different things happen and different circumstances. But never in the history of the world, I don't think, has the fall of an empire been this absurd and this clown-like. It is. It's truly history.
Yeah, we had similar with the Greeks, didn't we? With the eunuchs, and I think we had similar with the Romans. It is weird that we look back at the things which helped to, or were signs that an empire was degenerate and was about to collapse, and we look back at these things today, and we promote them and we celebrate them and we claim that they are a strength. It's amazing how things go in cycles with history. Well, let's have a look at Levine's previous life. Levine, who was born Richard Levine in Massachusetts in 1957, attended a private boys' school outside of Boston. She has talked openly about her transition, recalling that even as a young child, all I knew is I wanted to be a girl, or I was a girl, or female. Well, there's a bit of confusion there, isn't there? Either they wanted to be a girl, or they were was a girl, or they were female. I mean, you can't really be all three of those. It just shows that there's confusion there. There is dysphoria there. It's not something to celebrate. Levine began going to therapy about 20 years ago and slowly began growing her hair after she'd actually first gone bald and coming out to her colleagues, students, patients, friends and family. She completed her transition in 2013 after undergoing sex reassignment surgery and hormonal treatment, according to Penn Live. Before transitioning, Levine married Martha Peasley while enrolled at Tulane and started a family. She reportedly remains close to her ex-wife, whom she divorced in 2013, and two adult children, Dania and David. Moving from one gender to another, especially in your 50s, is a challenge, Rachel Levine told the Washington Post, but it was very rewarding. I'm very confident in who I am. In 2017, she was named to NBC Out's national hashtag Pride 30 list for her impact on the LGBTQ community. And you have to wonder what this was like for her family. I guess it's at least the two children were adults when this actually happened. And when she divorced, it seems to me maybe she was going through a bit of a midlife crisis. And instead of buying a big motorcycle and reliving her youth, she decided that she was going to live as a woman now. I mean, part of this might be down to hedonism. I mean, people might think, well, I've experienced everything there is to experience as a man. Perhaps now's the time to try and experience everything as a woman. But it really just shows that people are not happy. They're not happy with themselves. And it's the ultimate not being happy with yourself if you want to actually be the opposite gender. It shows that there is something rotten right at the root of our civilization and something missing right at the center of our being, I think. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
Well, that therapy really worked out, didn't it? I mean, you would think they were going through therapy. You'd think the therapy would help them work through this. Instead, the therapy worked them towards, taking this other path. I think therapy, by and large, is pretty much proven here to be a joke. You've got to wonder what's at play here, though, that somebody, you know, is in their 50s and decides, you know, because again, I'm in my mid 50s now. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, by the time you're in your 50s, you pretty much are who you are. I mean, you don't stop learning and trying to grow as a person, but really the fundamentals of who you are pretty much established by then. I can't picture being in your 50s and taking such a hard turn off the path of life that as is demonstrated with this. It really is kind of crazy, but hey, you're a four-star admiral now. Congratulations. This is the sort of thing that's celebrated. Instead, you would think you're going to put somebody in a position of authority. You want somebody what? With a very steady track record. This person, you look at their record through their whole life and it is steady. They've worked towards the same steady goal. They've accomplished these steady things. They're an expert in their field. Instead, we have this person that spent the most of their life living as a married man with two kids. And then in their 50s, just decided to take the exit ramp and cut their dingus off. Sounds like a definite, you know, I mean, what kind of track record would make you say this is the type of person that we should elevate from civilian to four-star admiral overnight? I mean, there's nothing there. It's just more of the same object insanity that we get to observe here in Cloud World.
This is really the example that they're holding up forward that they want people to follow, isn't it? I mean, you don't get worse than sort of self-harming yourself by cutting off your procreative facilities. I mean, if people can't look at this and think, you know, we've taken a wrong turning somewhere, then I really don't know what will. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.